Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Fendering Cast 73. Good to have you along. Good to have your company for the programme. It's a strange old in-between Grand Tours type show this week. Bit of transfer window thrown in and all that kind of stuff. It kind of feels like there's a little bit of a lull in the season before, you know, we get back on it for the Vuelta and the Worlds. But it's actually, you know, kind of like a good and an interesting time of the year with, you know, Poland, the Arctic Race, Tour of Burgos, the Bink Bank Tour, the artist formerly known as the Eneco Tour, all being on. So, you know, there is a fair amount to get your teeth into if you enjoy your bike racing. It's kind of made me think a little bit about the calendar, and is there occasionally, could you say that maybe there's too much bike racing on? I don't know. We've talked about, you know, the UCI and the how they harmonise, if that's the right word, the bike racing calendar, so that everyone gets you know, a fair crack publicity-wise. The riders as well, obviously, teams are limited to how many riders they can have, but then by the same token, the World Tour has expanded and there's bigger races, and, you know, you saw that teams were almost obliged to send riders to things like Ride London, which have no history, no real standing in the sport. You know, that might be different in 50 years' time, but, you know, for now, it's not the sort of event that you necessarily want. It's not a really hard course, all of those things. So, interestingly, you know, we look at the calendar and think, do we need the Tour of Burgos, a week-long stage race? Do we need that running concurrently with the Tour of Poland? And obviously a week before the Bink Bank Tour in the Low Countries. And the answer for me is probably no. There is a place in the calendar for week-long stage races, but are they better suited in a place around that Paris-Nice, around that Tour of Catalunya period, where riders are getting ready for the Grand Tours? Could you almost see a situation where the season is compartmentalised? To you know, we have a classic season, we have a stage racing season, and then we have a Grand Tour season, and it maybe gives a little bit more continuity. Because when you talk to people, when you talk to fans around, kind of peripheral and you know, what have you, or getting into the sport, there's a lot of confusion as to, you know, what and who and how the whole season actually works, and it takes a fair amount of someone's time, a fair chunk of someone's time, to actually kind of work out that there's almost different disciplines, different skills. You know, who's the best rider out of Chris Froome and Greg Van Avermaet, for example, or, you know, Philippe Gilbert and Alberto Contador? Difficult to say, isn't it? Because they don't come up against each other that often, and even if they do, they're never going to necessarily compete on the same actual sort of terrain. Contador's never going to be a cobble, certainly not now as he's retiring, but he's never going to be a cobble specialist, and Philippe Gilbert's never going to dance up an Alp. So it does, it adds to it. Maybe having those seasons compartmentalised adds a little bit to people's understanding. But, you know, hey, who knows? There is a UCI, of course, presidential election and what have you coming up, and let's hope that maybe there's some sort of clarity, because I still think the calendar needs a bit of work. Because again, you've got some sponsors that are obliged to send teams to Utah and Colorado at this sort of time of the season as well. And, you know, kind of when the Giro's on, you've got the Tour of California. So it's, you know, it's great for bike fans, don't get me wrong, but there can be an element of seasonal fatigue. Even with someone who loves bicycle racing immensely, there's an element of seasonal fatigue, I'm going to say, that goes with that. Interesting. So, yeah, moving on from that kind of area on to kind of some of the news of the week, dominated by the fact, well, two things really, the fact that Rafa have been sold to someone who's an heir to the Walmarts, but more, less kind of less kind of open to gags, is the news that Alberto Contador is retiring again. Maybe this time he'll actually give a date and stick to it, but it seems to be the case because the Vuelta is his desired last race. So, you know, we've got 4.5 weeks left of Alberto Contador being a professional bike racer, and love him or loathe him, and there isn't a lot of middle ground on this, but I've actually kind of found some that, you know, I think pre-ban I always thought that he was a cheat and that what he did was too good to be true. Post-ban, and you can argue for hours and hours, and other podcasts are doing that this week, as to whether or not his ban was justified or whether he was unlucky or whether it was genuinely a piece of state, all of that, you know, put that to one side. Post-ban, he actually became a better racer, even better racer to watch now. You know, you have to assume that he's come back clean if he wasn't before, and as a result of that, maybe he wasn't as invincible as he had been pre-ban. What's really disappointing is the fact that, you know, his palmares is now marked with asterisks of races he's won that he's been stripped of, and chain gate and all of that kind of stuff that is unsavoury. But you have to say this year's Tour de France was definitely more interesting for having him in it, and you hope that he goes to the Vuelta with an attitude that he is there to rip the field up. And I think it'll be interesting to see how he goes. I think maybe deep down he knows he hasn't got the legs to win an overall classement anymore. And if you put that in the, you know, in his mind, or if you have that in your mind, and go with an open mind to watch that Vuelta, I think he could be, you know, he'll like the blue touch paper underneath it. That's for sure. And you know, I think even his most ardent critic, who would look and say he rode for US Postal and Astana and a team managed by Barney Rees, and we've put, you know, our little bit about Contador on the website does actually state that. You can't help but kind of like the way that he rides, and we all wish that we could do the things that he's done and ride in the style that he rides or has ridden. And so fair play to the lad, and good luck, and I hope he wins a stage of the Vuelta, even if I'm kind of in a minority, you know, even if I'm in a minority of one with regards to that. I know there won't be, there's people who love him on Twitter, so I'm sure they will, you know, be more than keen to see a Contador win. The Vuelta, of course, coming up in the next week or so. We might have a bit more to say on that next time on the show. A little bit more info when we've had a chance to properly digest the routes. And that's the thing, because at the moment we're desperately trying to keep up with like Burgos on the bike channel. I'm trying to back watch all of that. So you throw that to one side. Once you've got through that, you've got the Bink Bank Tour to keep up with, although I did watch the time trial on, like, you know, plus 20 or something on Sky, because it wasn't particularly interesting. You've got various other things going on. I'm just actually driving down a single track road on hands free, and a guy's just come the other way down the no entry street, which was why there was that little giggle. He seems to be okay. So yeah, that's it. That's all for this week's show. Thank you very much for listening, as always. Make sure you give us a listen and a share on Facebook, Twitter and what have you, and tell your friends. Fendrincast is done for the week. 74 next time. Bye-bye.